This is the Beer of the Day podcast.
From Beer of the Day World Headquarters in Elk Grove, California. This is the Beer of the Day podcast. Well, finally, the weather has cooled down and we're making that transition now into the winter beer season, the darker beers, the winter warmers. And so that's the type of style of beer we're going to be featuring on the program this evening. We've got five beers to try, all different styles from all around the country and Iceland as well. So a good mix tonight. And we'll get into that, plus news and comments from you. I'm Dallas Helliker. Joining me tonight from Pasadena, Jeff Miller. Hey, Jeff.
Hey. It was 81 degrees today, so it's not quite winter weather, but here in Southern California, it's basically summer and then a warm winter. There's not much in between, so we're right at that point.
It's been cold here. It's been getting chilly. It's been into the 40s at night and, you know, high 60s during the day. It's definitely a little bite in the air. I'm wearing my jacket when I'm going outside, so It's definitely changed here quite a bit.
But you're right. I look forward to this time of year because, you know, all summer long I'm drinking IPAs, Kolsch, you know, lighter beers, and, you know, just a barrel-aged stout doesn't sound good when it's 100 degrees out. So I'm glad we're getting into the weather now where I can drink everything that I've been aging for the last couple of years.
What kind of beers have you had lately that you've been sampling?
It's still been pretty warm. So I, you know, haven't been able to go to a lot of breweries because of COVID. I did order a case of different beers from Kern River in Kernville. And I also ordered a case from Russian River. And so I kind of just had a variety from each of those. A beer that was really, really good. Maybe you've had this. It's not new, but from Russian River, I had it for the first time. It's a Row 2 Hill 56. It's a Simcoe Pale Ale. They've had it for a couple of years at least, but this was my first time having it. It was fantastic. One of the best Simcoe, you know, pale ales or Simcoe beers for that matter that I've ever had. It's not why I ordered the case from Russian River, but it was surprisingly the best out of all of them.
I'll have to look for that one. I mean, I've been to their brewery multiple times, and I don't think I ever pulled the trigger and ordered that one. So yeah, I'll have to look for that.
Yeah, and I got Kern River has won a ton of GABF medals the last couple of years, and they're just killing it. Like every year, they win two or three medals. So I got a case of a bunch of new beers. The best one from Kern River that I had was a double IPA, a red IPA, which is not a style that I normally have. It's called Side Hike. It was excellent as well. So, you know, it's easy to get these right now in California. Outside of California, it's a little bit harder. But if you can get Kern River or Russian River, I mean, those are obviously great breweries.
Any brewery that's by a river, really.
Yes.
Okay, that's good. Well, let's get into the first beer of the night. Let's start somewhere where they know how to do winter, and that's Anchorage, Alaska. This is Anchorage Brewing Company, The Experiment. Interesting looking beer. It has some sort of alien autopsy type of setup where there's somebody laying on a gurney, and there's scalpels and green hands, and it's a kind of a strange looking beer, but cool for sure. This one is 7%. I got batch number 2. What do you have?
Yeah, batch number 2. So I had this beer a couple of years ago. That must have been batch number 1. This must be batch number 2, 2 years later. It might take you a little bit to open it. This is a struggle to open.
cork and cage.
Oh, there you go. It's a sour ale made with wild Alaska blueberries. They must have just skipped a year because this came out this year. I think we got this maybe in March or April of this year. Look at that color, though.
Wow. Not what I expected. It looks like blueberry juice.
Yeah, I never know with a blueberry beer. For some reason, I'm expecting blue. Obviously, the beer is not going to be blue, but it is red, like almost looks like red wine, but lighter body.
Like a dark rosé.
Yeah, dark purple color. Really thin, like fizzy head. There's basically no head. Aroma is intense. I mean, this has been sitting in oak tanks. You can really smell the oak. You can smell the funkiness and the fruit. I mean, it is a very strong aroma.
Yeah, it's like kind of a blueberry puree type aroma, but it kind of has that effervescence of sparkling wine. Sometimes they have those different types of sparkling wine that has fruit in it. And this kind of reminds me of something kind of that style.
You know, on the taste, it's not too tart or not too sour. Sour ales kind of run the whole spectrum from really mild to really, really like hard for me to drink sour. And this is fairly light on the sourness. I sometimes have a fear that it's going to be too strong, but this is really just right for me.
That was my fear as well. And the aroma is very concentrated. And I thought I was going to be drinking a concentrated blueberry type of flavor, but it's light. It's drinkable. There's blueberry there, but it's not overwhelming. It's just a very pleasant, mild mannered sour beer. And it's not too sour. It's just, there's a little tartness, but it's not over the top at all.
It's like, even after having a few sips, there's like an aroma that I can't quite put my finger on. It's a really strong like earthiness. I don't know, Dallas, if you can tell what that is, but do you get like, there's something in this aroma that's really unique. Maybe it's the blueberry, but it is just so intense.
I do get that Brettanomyces sourness, you know, that little bit of the yeast you can taste.
Yeah, it's... I like the finish of this beer. It's kind of like silky smooth, but it's kind of light bodied. I mean, it's still a sour ale it's not heavy by any means. I mean, we started with this beer first because I think we knew it was going to be kind of the lightest. It's kind of crisp and sharp, I would say.
It's sharp, but it's so not overwhelming. It's exactly, you know, the things I don't like about sour beer is when they get overly sour and overwhelming and it becomes a chore to drink. This is not that at all. It's also, I always worry about heartburn with sours like this, these fruit type of sours. I remember going to Cascade Brewery in Portland, and those beers, they would give me such terrible heartburn, and some don't. And this one has no, the acidity must be lower than a lot of other sours.
Yeah, and I get a lot of the barrel flavors that smooth out that sourness. I really like this. I mean, Anchorage produces a ton of beers. I don't know quite what, you know, I'm not familiar with the experiment, if that's like a series. I mean, like I said before, I had the first batch, and that's all I've had, but it seems like they have a ton of new beer all the time. They have a really good barrel age program, tons of IPAs, double IPAs. Some of their barrel age stouts are really like expensive, sought after beers. So this is a phenomenal brewery. It just seems like they make a ton of new beer all the time.
They do. And it does come up on Tavour quite a bit. So we do get it pretty readily, to the point where I love their beers, but I can't, if I ordered every one of them, I'd go broke.
Yeah.
So, but I'm glad we got this one. This is fantastic. Now, you know, there's places that do sours very well, and Allagash is kind of the tops in my mind as far as that goes. And this is right up there with that really high quality sours.
Yeah, definitely. This is really good. This is Anchorage makes really good beers in several different styles, and this is, you know, one of the better sours I've had.
Absolutely. And now let's get into the beer news of the day. Canadian cannabis company agrees to buy U.S. craft beer maker Sweetwater, known for its 420 branded brews. Aphria Inc. is jumping into the U.S. with a purchase of a craft beer company that has been part of some stoner's lifestyle for decades. $300 million. It's just a massive amount of money. I know they're very big, especially in... you know, down in Florida and in, you know, the southern, southeast United States.
Georgia.
I've been to Florida twice in the past couple of months. And, you know, since they don't have COVID there. And this is, you know, very, very prevalent in every store that they have it. So I had a few of their beers just recently.
Yeah, we've had the Sweetwater 420 Pale Ale featured on the website. It's I think that's their flagship beer. Mm-hmm. But that was a beer that when our good friends Lance and Hugo lived in Florida, they brought back for me one time, and I've had it a couple times. It's good. It's an interesting Georgia beer, and I could see why this cannabis company would buy that with that name.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good brewery, and it's got the name, and I guess a following, but their CEO is not going to change, so they're going to continue operation exactly as they have, and it will be a wholly owned subsidiary of Aphria, and it will keep its 125 employees on staff. The stock price of the Aphria company jumped up big time, so I guess it was good news for them.
Nice.
We have, okay, this was a list that they posted on website. It was called Gear Patrol. You know, I mentioned going to Florida, and where we were in like the panhandle, due to COVID or whatever reason, the distribution of beer didn't seem to be like at its peak performance. Everywhere we went, there was no beer on tap. You had to just get it in the bottle. And the selection was pretty bad. Like at one point I ordered the beer that I ordered was Landshark.
Oh geez.
Which is basically a Coors. And they didn't have that. And so I had to settle for a Budweiser, you know, regular.
They were out of Blue Moon too?
They had nothing. And but there's a lot there's certain areas that are just not very big on craft beer, and some establishments we went to were like this. There was a couple actual breweries that were nearby, and I took some pictures and wrote some descriptions. I'm going to put those up as beer of the day pretty soon. But you know, at restaurants and stuff, it just wasn't happening. So there's a list here of when you're in those types of situations, 15 delicious IPAs you can buy almost anywhere. So this is a list of IPAs that are widely distributed all around the country, and maybe there's not a good beer that you can find, you know, local or whatever, but if you find one of these 15, you'll be okay. And I wanted to see how many of the 15 you could name on this list.
Anywhere in the country, huh?
Anywhere in the country. Most places in the country, I'd say. And I'll give you little hints along the way, but I'm sure you can name off a few of them.
You want me to start?
Yeah.
Stone IPA?
Yes, that's on the list.
New Belgium. Voodoo Ranger?
That's on the list, correct.
I had to think of what their IPA was. let's see. Bells?
Two-Hearted Ale, yes.
Two-Hearted Ale, okay.
You're 3 for 3 so far.
Running out of ideas here. I can think of a lot of pale ales, but specifically IPAs. I don't know if there'd be a Sierra Nevada. Is there a Sierra Nevada?
There's two.
Oh, Torpedo?
Yes.
And Celebration?
No.
That's too seasonal.
Think newer. It's a beer that's came out within the past 3 years, and it has swept the nation. It's everywhere.
I have no idea.
Hazy Little Thing.
Oh, well, that's why I don't know it.
I've ordered this in airport bars. I ordered it in... I bought a six-pack of it when I was in Florida. Same type of situation where there wasn't, you know, it was just at the little hotel shop. Yeah. And so I got that there. Darn, I think good.
I had it once. What else would there be? Sam Adams has to have it.
No Sam Adams. No, you know, their IPAs are, they're not big on IPAs. So let's go around the California big breweries. You've hit a couple of them so far, so hit the rest of them.
Sierra Nevada, Stone, Lagunitas IPA for sure.
Yep.
You can get that anywhere.
And then Central Coast, big one.
Oh, Firestone.
Yep. And it's a newer beer too.
Their Haze Craze, what's it called?
Mind Haze.
It's sad that these hazy ones are so big. Any other California ones?
20%? Nope, no more California.
I would guess
two in Chicago.
Goose Island IPA.
Yes. And the other one is Revolution Brewing Anti-Hero.
Really? I mean, yeah. I've had Revolution, but I just don't know how widespread their distribution is.
I didn't know either, but I was in Indiana a couple of weeks ago for Halloween, and I saw that there. I actually bought that, this exact beer, because, you know, it's very close to Chicago, and I thought, well, there wasn't any local IPAs I could find, so I got that, and it was good, but apparently it's more widespread than you'd think.
Maybe Deschutes?
Nope. But there is a Northwest IPA.
And this is independent, like craft breweries only?
No, they could be sellouts.
I'd say like Elysian?
Yes.
Okay, that's why I asked my question.
Then let's go East Coast, Florida.
Not the company that bought Oscar Blues.
Oscar Blues. Now, the interesting thing is they put Oscar Blues Dale's Pale Ale on here.
Well, see, I was thinking that, but that's a very widespread pale ale, but not an IPA.
Right. But they put it on there as like an honorable mention.
Yeah. What's the name of the brewery? It's on the tip of my tongue.
Florida Cigar City.
Oh, Cigar City, yeah.
High Li.
Oh, yeah, yeah. High Li. You can get that everywhere now.
Yep. And then there's a Michigan one.
Well, I said that's Bell's
Session. I think it's Michigan Founders.
Oh, Founders, yeah.
All Day IPA.
Yep.
There's one from Milton, Delaware.
Dogfish Head.
60 Minute. And Brooklyn Brewery, East IPA.
I was thinking Brooklyn, but I just couldn't think of one of their IPAs. But like Brooklyn Lager is very common.
Yeah, it is. But that was on the list. Yeah, I thought that was cool because, you know, sometimes you just need a decent beer and you don't have time to mess around. And if you can find one of those, I think you really can't go wrong with any of those beers. A lot of airport bars and stuff where you can't get anything local. You can't get anything that's a little off the beaten path, but those are still fine.
And the last couple of years, I feel like you don't see too many Session IPAs anymore. They were very popular for like a year or two, and then I think they've kind of lost their luster.
Yeah, I agree. And then I got one more here with the holidays coming up. You're going to have to start thinking about gift ideas for the beer enthusiast in your life, or in probably more cases, gifts for you, the listener to the Beer of the Day podcast, from the other people in your life. There was an article, I'll post a link in the notes on the website. 14 gift ideas for the craft beer enthusiast. I went through it. I took all the books out and the ones that are stupid, like beer soap, you know, novelty, right? you want to drink beer, you don't want to smell like beer.
True.
The Yeti Hopper Soft Cooler, so kind of a cooler that's high quality, high grade. Spieglau beer tasting kit, so all the different glasses and different styles. They had a growler that has a carbonation hooked up to it, so you can keep your growler carbonated in the fridge. Personalized wall opener, bottle opener. That's, you know, always a good thing to have if you can put by your beer fridge. Some freezable beer glasses. I thought that was, they looked pretty high quality. Mini fridge holds 118 beer cans. Pretty sizable item. A shower beer holder.
Mm-hmm.
So that's for someone pretty hardcore that taking up the shower beers. And they had the 3-in-1 Hermetus bottle opener and sealer. Now, this sounds like a good idea, but if you have to seal up your beer afterward, are you really that much of a beer enthusiast? Or, you know, that last beer of the night, if you have the wherewithal to seal up your beer and put it in the fridge before you go to bed, probably not gonna happen. Now, I do think it could work for you, Jeff, because you have to drink these beers. You'll drink, you know, a part of the beer, and then you need to seal it up and be able to take a picture of it and have it be somewhat close to.
Yeah.
So that might work for you.
Some of the time, yeah, that's true. You know, I also just purchased the Anchor Merry Christmas Happy New Year beer, and this year I got the Magnums, and they are humongous, and they only cost like $9 or $10. So I don't think I could drink one of those on my own. That could be one to seal up.
Yeah, not on the list of articles here, but I did see that Anchor is selling previous year's beer. So I think they're going back 4 years, so you can buy 5 years worth of Anchor Merry Christmas beer. For a beer that is this hoppy, I don't think that the old ones would be that good, or they would be a shell of the beer that they were when you purchased them originally. So I don't really understand the reason for it. Like, if it was an exact replica of what 2013's beer was like, or 2015 or whatever, fine. But it's not. So you're drinking a beer that's probably not as good as they originally intended, and it's not even the same beer that you're tasting, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's not a super hoppy beer, but I just don't think of it as a beer that would age very well.
No. For it to age well, it's got to be in that stout barley wine type of category, I think.
Yeah. It's probably fine, but I can't imagine it's better than it was when it came out.
No. And I don't think, like, nostalgia-wise, you're going to actually taste what it tasted like back then. You're going to taste the version of it now, which is not what they intended. So I think it's more about just selling some beer that they had stored away and making some money. Maybe. Maybe that's too cynical. But that's available if you want some old beer. I would just get a Magnum or two of the new stuff and just drink that. All right, well, let's get into the next beer of the night. This is from Sierra Nevada River Brewing Company. The Sierra Nevada Brewing Company, Chico, California, and Mills River, there, North Carolina. Go. There it is. It's Mills River, North Carolina. So we're keeping the river thing intact. Dankful. It's Thanksgiving, and so a beer called Dankful seems appropriate for this time of year.
Yeah. I saw this at Whole Foods, and the first thing I thought of was Thanksgiving. I didn't know about this beer. Is this the first year it's come out? Do you know?
Yeah. This is new.
Yeah. So I saw it, and I just thought of Thanksgiving. So I think we should feature this as the beer of the day for Thanksgiving Day.
All right. Well, get on it. It's tomorrow. Now, we're recording this on Friday night, so it takes a few days to get this podcast prepared for release. We have to cut out all the cussing and everything.
I really should have done better on that quiz. All those breweries are not the ones I like drink these days. And so they, you know, they're the biggest breweries, but they don't come to mind because I just don't drink their beer that often.
Yeah, well, it's tough. I put you on the spot.
I like that. That's fun.
All right. Well, Sierra Nevada is such a good brewery. I'm just going to pour this whole beer in this glass and go with it.
Yeah, I don't drink these 12-ounce beers that often anymore. It seems like everything I drink is a tall can. But this fits nicely in this glass. It's a pale amber color.
So before you move on to that, Jeff, let me talk about that really fast. So, you know, I drink a lot of Russian River beers, and they come in the bigger bottles. They're not the super 22-ounce bottle, but it's still a bigger than 16-ounce. So when I open up that bottle, I pour it into a pint glass, and then when I get to the end of it, I have to drink the butt end of the beer, you know, that was in the bottom of the bottle before I take my beer and go sit down, you know? So I always, my first taste of a beer is always the dregs of the beer in the bottom of the bottle. And even with the can, you know, the bigger cans, not the 12-ounce can, but the 16-ounce can. 16-ounce can it's too much work to pour exactly 16 ounces in a 16-ounce glass, and then I spill it as I get it up to my mouth, right? And there's head on it, right? So what happens is I pour a regular pour, and there's an inch of head, and I have an inch of beer left in the can, and then that's what I drink first.
You're doing it wrong. Why can't you just take your glass and the can with you and drink part of the beer and then pour the rest of the can into the glass?
I could do that, but I don't want to have to lug a can around. I want to throw the can away in the recycling and be done with it.
I do it differently. I know what you mean. I pour as much, you know, that fits in the glass, and then I take the can with me, and then I fill it back up.
All right. Well, I like that method. I'm going to start doing that. I think it is a little bit extra hauling of an extra aluminum can around, but that's not that big of a deal. Cause I don't like the current situation where I'm drinking the bottom of a can that might have some particulate matter. I'm always worried about what's down there, but I can't let it go to waste. Well, so
you don't want that anyway, because I think it's important for your first experience with the beer to be the aroma, and that's part of why you pour it in the glass, so that you get the right aroma.
Yep.
You should smell that beer before you're drinking out of the can.
Nope. My first experience is the aroma from the whiff of it as I get from putting the aluminum can up to my lips. So, yep. Got to do it differently. I agree. Good call. Anyway, so let's get to Dankful.
So it's pale amber in color. Speaking of aroma, I think this has a very strong hoppy aroma. I mean, it says on the freaking can, dangerous or generously hoppy.
dangerously
hoppy. I'm okay with that too. It is a really strong, like, citrus and pine hoppy aroma. More than you get in most, you know, particularly Sierra Nevada IPAs.
So I don't understand exactly why this beer exists. Like, so you have Torpedo, and that's your standard. Is this something they're bringing out for Thanksgiving, or are they trying to make a rebranded type of Torpedo, but more dank, you know, like more of those really resinous hops as opposed to the standard fare?
You know, there's something about this beer, and I remember, so I bought a six pack of this, and on the box, which I promptly recycled after I put the beers in the fridge, it said something about, like, the purpose of this beer. There is something significant about, like, this year and being thankful and, you know, showing gratitude. There's something significant about this beer. I just can't remember what it was.
Okay, well, let's look it up. Since we have the internet, we can just find out these things right away. So, flavors on this, Jeff.
I just had one sip, but I mean, I always get pine in Sierra Nevada beers, but I get a good amount of pine. It is resinous, and a little bit of citrus as well.
A better tomorrow is why we brew Dankful, a resinous West Coast IPA that supports nonprofits standing up for social equality, economic well-being, and environmental protection. Through this philanthropic pledge, we work with nonprofit partners dedicated to moving our communities forward. We are Dankful for that. So yeah, this is kind of a beer that's geared towards charitable causes.
And that's excellent. I'm glad I bought this because it's, you know, I want to support those things. But importantly, the flavor is there too. And this is, going back to what I said, it is resinous. It's citrusy, but it's got that Sierra Nevada, like caramel malt sweetness. It's not overly sweet by any means, but there's a lot of like kind of a light caramel flavor that you don't get in a lot of IPAs.
Yeah. And, you know, we talked about Hazy Little Thing, and there's so much hazy going on that every time we get one of these West Coast, no apologies necessary for the bitterness, you know, it just goes full on, and it's fine. It's not overly bitter, but if you're not a IPA drinker, you're not going to like this beer.
Yeah, it's...
But if you are, you love this beer.
I mean, it's really hoppy throughout, like from start to finish, and I like that. And it's hoppy, but not there is some bitterness, but it's not too bitter. You know, I talk to a lot of people who don't like IPAs, and it always comes down to bitterness. This has light bitterness, but it's very hoppy, and I think there's a difference between the two.
Yeah, and I like how this one. There's seven different types of hops in here, and it's. You can taste the different parts of the hop spectrum. You can taste some tropical, some pine, some citrus. You know, there's like a wide range of all those traditional hop flavors.
I don't know what you think about this, but this is a beer that has kind of like a sticky or chewy mouthfeel. And I like that. Like, it's kind of like
it coats the tongue. It really, it really delivers the flavor to your taste buds. It has that mouthfeel that is a little bit, it's coating. It sticks around. It's sticky a little bit.
It's sticky. I like this. I mean, Sierra Nevada does a very good job with the balance of their beers. And this has the right amount of hops, right amount of malts. I mean, this is labeled as a hoppy IPA, and it is certainly hoppy, but I think what's key here is the malts that support all those hops. I mean, it's that sweetness in the background that really like shows up in a Sierra Nevada beer.
Yeah. And the thing about this beer is I bought a six pack of this when I first saw it. Like every time I see a new Sierra Nevada beer, I just buy it like instinctively. And I drank it. I drank the beer and it was good, but you know, it was one of those beers where I was watching TV and I drank the beer and I wasn't really like trying to review the beer. I was just drinking the beer and it was good, but it was so like, I was so at home with the beer. I didn't even think twice about it. Like I just drank it and the six pack went fast without me thinking, you know, I it was probably two nights and it was gone. And I didn't really make any conscious decision to like drink them or whatever. I just went in the fridge, grabbed the next one, and it just kind of went by without me putting a whole lot of thought into it. It was just good, and that was it. It wasn't over the top or descriptive, or it didn't stick out as far as like being too unique or noticeable, but it was good enough to where, you know, that's what I drank for, you know, a week.
Yeah. I just got this a week ago and I'm glad I got this six pack. This is my first one, but I'm glad I've got five more because this is enjoyable. This is a everyday drinking IPA.
Yeah. It's not too heavy either. It's 7.2 or whatever, 7.4. So it's no joke. And there is a lot of bitterness and hop and, you know, bite to it, but it somehow balances in with the maltiness, and it's drinkable despite being as bold as it is.
But I think compared to like Torpedo, which I'm actually not a big fan of Torpedo, I think it's about the same ABV, but Torpedo, from what I recall, is way more bitter than this.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I had that impression of Torpedo also, but it might also be one of those situations where Torpedo was bitter early on in the bitterness of, you know, hoppy IPAs.
Yeah.
And it's not as hoppy now as it used to be in comparison.
Yeah. I haven't had it for a couple of years, but I enjoyed this. I mean, I'm going to pick up any beer that says generously hoppy from a brewery that I like. And this is very enjoyable.
Aptly named. Okay, well, let's transition then from Thanksgiving to Icelandic winter ale. Oh, so we had an Anchorage, Alaska beer, and now an Iceland beer. So we're focusing on some polar type of regions.
Two islands. Oh, wait, that's just when you look at a map where you leave off Canada.
Oh, right, yeah, no. We should have had a Canadian beer on here, though, eh? Maybe next time.
We don't see that many Canadian beers. You know, there's a few you can get, but it's a normal. We don't see the microbreweries from Canada. That's what I would want to try.
So this beer, Icelandic Winter Ale. And Einstock Olgerd from Akureyri, Iceland.
We need Britain to pronounce it correctly.
Yeah. We featured a bunch of their beers over the years. And we've kind of developed I don't know that we've ever really communicated with them other than like liking each other's posts and stuff on social media, or maybe a couple of like, you know, great, thanks or whatever, you know, minor comments. But they do notice us. They notice our love for their beers. And so there's kind of a back and forth with them.
Yeah, they don't make a lot of beers. I mean, they have huge volume, but they don't have that many different beers, which I appreciate. Like, it seems like they have the same beers every single year. Every once in a while, they come out with a new one. But at least from what we see in California, there's not, you know, it's pretty much the same, like, six or seven beers.
It is, yeah. Occasionally, I'll see a new one, but it's definitely not like the breweries here where there's, every time you turn around, there's a different type of beer.
Yeah, so this is, you know, a seasonal one. I don't think you can get this most of the year. Like Dallas said, this is the Icelandic winter ale. I just poured mine. It is a reddish dark brown color, definitely like non-transparent. It's dark, and the head is one finger thick. Off-white, it's a little like khaki color and foamy. I think this is going to be a head that sticks around for a little while.
Yeah, the color, it's very nice. It's reddish, but it's a little bit orangish, rust colored. I get that kind of bricky malt on the aroma, and then maybe just a touch of smoke.
I like the aroma. It's malt forward, but I get a lot of like dark fruit, almost like a Belgian ale. It doesn't smell like I guess it kind of smells like a winter ale a little bit. Maybe there's a little bit of spice.
There certainly is in the flavor. So this is my first Christmas beer. It's called a winter ale, but it has those nutmeg, allspice type of cinnamon type of spice in the aftertaste. And so initially it's just kind of a malty type of beer, but then you get that kick of that holiday cheer right in the end, the little eggnog type of taste, which you know, just says Christmas beer to me.
Yeah, this is made with spruce tips, which I don't know what spruce tips taste like, but I get a little bit of that like tree flavor, which I think makes sense.
Spruce is a tree.
Yes. But I think what I really enjoy about this beer is like I get a lot of these like dark fruit flavors. Are you picking up on that?
Yeah, I just got that. Just as you were saying it, I got a little bit, like you said, those Belgian type of qualities, like the plantain, and then a little bit of maybe plum or something.
I get like fig or raisin.
Raisin, yeah. Uh-huh.
not quite banana. You know, a lot of Belgian beers have banana flavor, but these like dark fruits that age well. It's a little smoky. Like the can does say that there's smoked barley. There's a little bit of smoke, but not like a smoked, like, you know, we've had some like smoked porters and stuff that are really, really smoky. I would say there's light smokiness.
You know, they kind of roast the barley to get it to be like this darker kind of beer. And, you know, I say there's the smoke would be just residual from that process. It's not like they're trying to put smoke in the beer.
Right.
Which is a good thing. That can be a little bit overwhelming and off-putting, and it takes over the whole beer very quickly. When I see that on there, smoked, especially in a beer that's not a porter or a stout, stouts are robust enough to handle a little smoke, you know? But a beer that's this a little more delicate, so introducing smoke into this ecosystem might throw it off a little bit more.
I really like the carbonation of this beer, and I don't say that very often with a beer, but it's, well, I think this is, it doesn't specifically say, but it's a winter warmer, I would call it, but the carbonation has this sort of warming smoothness that it's almost like you're drinking like a whiskey, but the carbonation is so smooth and like pillowy is how I would describe it. It's, I really love the carbonation of this beer.
Yeah, I do too.
I think it's malty and fruity. Like I said, those dark fruit flavors are very prevalent to me, more so than spice. Like there's a little bit of spice in the background, but I think the fruit flavors really stand out for me.
Yeah. The fruit, the maltiness, the fruit, and then the spices in the aftertaste.
And there's a touch of sweetness, like maybe some brown sugar, but it's not really sweet. Like the last beer, the Sierra Nevada Dankful, was actually more sweet than this. But there is a little bit of like brown sugar sweetness in the finish.
Yes, there is. I mean, for the style, I think it's really good. I mean, this is cold night. Open up one of these, two of these, and you're in, you know, it's definitely enjoyable. Sit around the fire type of beer.
Yeah, 8%. I mean, this is really my first, what I would consider a wintertime beer. And this is good. I could drink this all the time. And the price was pretty cheap. I mean, coming from Iceland, I think I bought these cans and they were $1.99 each, I think. Like, you know, not having to buy a 6-pack or a 12-pack, but I would go back and actually buy a 6-pack or a 12-pack because for the quality and the price, it's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, definitely. I don't think you can go wrong here if you want something a little more festive for the wintertime. Pick this one up for sure. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to have Chaco Vesa from Stone. We've had it before on a couple of different times, but it's kind of a new branding, a new beer. And then we'll have Might Meets Right, a barrel-aged imperial stout from Evanston, Illinois. All that when we return. This is the Beer of the Day podcast. All right, if you like this show and want to help us out, you can do so a couple of different ways. The first one is just posting a Beer of the Day. That's a great one because you live somewhere in this country, not close to us, and you have local breweries that you enjoy. If you post a beer, write a description of a beer, take a picture, put it up there, then we will feature it as the Beer of the Day, and everybody around the whole country will be able to say, oh, look at that beer in whatever town you live in, and learn a little bit more about what beer is like, or, you know, in different parts of the country. So it's helpful for us. You're saving Jeff's liver, but also, you know, we like to see what everyone else is drinking and what, you know, there's beers in Sacramento that I know of that people around the country don't know about. And so when I feature those beers as Beer of the Day, then people say, oh, they learn about the beer. So feature a Beer of the Day. And then if you are a brewery or you are in a part of the country where, you know, if say you don't want to post a Beer of the Day, you can just mail us a beer, and we will take the picture and post it up as beer of the day. So if you're a brewery, you want to send us beer, get it featured, do that. Or if you, you know, just have a beer that you want us to try or feature it on this show, you can send it to us. And we will do that. So a couple different ways you can help us out. And if that's too much work, just leave a comment. You know, if we post a beer of the day and you like the beer, or you want to say something about it, or you've had it before or whatever, let us know. And then when you do that, it just kind of helps build the posts that we have at each day. And then we kind of grow our social media presence. So that can help us out too. All those things, very helpful, and we are very appreciative. All right, let's get back to it. Welcome back to the Beer of the Day podcast. Our next beer is from Stone Brewing Company, Escondido, California. It's called Chacovesa, 8.1%. And this is a rebranded version. We've had this beer before. Hold on, let me turn this can upside down so I can read it. It says Imperial Stout, inspired by Mexican hot chocolate. Stout brewed with chocolate, coffee, pasilla peppers, vanilla, cinnamon, and nutmeg. That's a lot of ingredients.
Shit.
What happened?
I like that. Peppers.
Peppers, you know, a little pepper can, it's fine, but you can take that too far to where it overwhelms, and we'll see if that happens here. I've really liked this beer in the past, so.
Me too, but I don't think I've had this recently. I remember having this the very first year it came out. I remember specifically buying the Stone bottle. It had like a bluish label, and it was like this new Stone beer, and I remember trying it that year, and it was good, but I feel like it probably like had a bunch of heartburn for you. And I don't know that I've had it since then. I mean, I see it every year, but I really haven't had it for like 5 years.
Well, now you have to leave no stone unturned.
So their new marketing.
That's the upside down labels. Yeah, you have to turn them over and pour them.
So obviously this is a really dark color, dark brown, nearly black, pretty thin head. Mine is pretty much fizzled away. This is a little film. Aromatic for sure. I mean, there's a lot of like spice and cinnamon.
Yeah, spice. I get some heat from it. I get that pepper for sure.
I didn't actually realize. So like with this label being upside down, the only part I saw was where it said Imperial Stout inspired by Mexican hot chocolate. I did not see the part at the very bottom that said, you know, with chocolate, coffee, pasilla peppers, vanilla, cinnamon, nutmeg. I was actually thinking maybe they got rid of those, but clearly they did not.
No. So those pasilla peppers, boy, that's really prevalent for me on the aroma.
Mm-hmm.
I just hope it's not too prevalent on the taste. Let's see.
I mean, for me, it's not. There's no burn at all, but I don't have the heartburn. I think it's tolerable.
It's fine, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's there, but it's not overwhelming at all. But, you know, like Mexican chocolate has a little burn to it. It has that little bit of heat, and that's present here in the taste.
It definitely reminds me of Mexican chocolate. Dark malt, chocolate. I get a lot of clove. Vanilla and clove are the two that stand out to me.
Yeah. You know, the coffee is a lot, you know, it's pretty coffee heavy to me. There is chocolate. I'd say it's more coffee than chocolate to me. But it's also got a light mouthfeel. You know, it's not too heavy. It's not that last beer we talked about, the coating on the tongue. And this one isn't. It's like a little bit lighter, more of a, you know, a lager mouthfeel where you take a sip of it and then it's abbreviated and it's done. It doesn't really linger on like some heavier stouts.
Yeah, I agree. Like I always feel like this makes a beer sound bad, but I think the mouthfeel has like a cola type mouthfeel. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but it's just not like syrupy or thick. It's just kind of light bodied. with good carbonation.
Yeah, strong carbonation, I think, is the key to that, where it really it fizzes, and then it interrupts that sitting on the tongue that we talked about on the other one. It's not syrupy. It's more effervescent.
Yeah, but I think this has a lot of like complexity in that all these flavors that are mentioned on the can are all very distinguishable. I mean, I definitely pick up on the chocolate, like I said, the coffee you mentioned, the peppers, the vanilla, the cinnamon, the nutmeg. I said clove also. Like, I get all of those flavors, and it's very, it's complex and deep, and like it's like really robust flavors.
Yes, it is. Very flavorful. Now, 8.1%, man, this just has a lot lighter mouthfeel than a lot of 8% beers. That last one was 8%, but it was, I think you can notice the 8%. Winter warmers, you expect to have the taste, you know, you expect to taste a little bit of the alcohol. This one, you know, for all the different types of flavors, it seems to mask the alcohol. I don't get much of a kick on this.
Yeah, I get a little bit. I mean, a beer of this style, I mean, anything less than 8%, I would kind of question. So I think it's appropriate for the style. Would you say, like, you know, we mentioned this is from Escondido, which is in San Diego County. Is this kind of like the winter beer for Stone? Like, this is really like their wintertime beer, right?
It is, yeah.
Which I think is appropriate for a Southern California brewery. This is, I like the Mexican twist on this. It's different from winter ales from other parts of the country.
Yes, it definitely is. I like it's changing it up a little bit, but it's definitely, it's a unique beer. There's not very many beers with those types of flavors all combined. And, but it's flavorful and complex for sure. All right, let's get into this.
Incoming transmission.
You've got mail.
Comments this week. These individuals went to our website, beeroftheday.com, or they went to Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter at Beer of the Day, and they left a comment. A little bit of a theme this week. We love themes on this show. Brent Palmer on Facebook commented on Big Blue Van from College Street Brew House in Lake Havasu City, Arizona. I need this in Denver, Colorado. How can I get some? I'll come back and answer that. Rhinohoff in Dubuque, Iowa. One of my favorite beers, he commented on Kolmbacher Brewery AG, German brewery. One of my favorite beers. Is there anywhere in the U.S. it can be found? Well, there was another comment I was going to put on here too. A lot of people asking about where can I find this beer? Where can I get this beer? Unfortunately, in a lot of cases, it's a little tough to get beer from different parts of the country if it's a smaller brewery. So there's those 15 beers I read earlier that you can get everywhere. But when you're talking about smaller breweries that are in a specific location, tough to get them. So, Tavour is one place where they ship beers from all around the country. So you can get beers. That's how we get a lot of our East Coast beers here. But sometimes you just have to go and do like little mini beercations and go try beer in different spots. A lot of the Northeast beers in Vermont, we had to go and visit Vermont and try the beers there. You know, we've been to Florida. We've been to St. Louis and Kansas City. We went to Decorah, Iowa. We went to Madison, Wisconsin. Washington, went to Portland. Washington. We haven't been to Asheville, North Carolina yet, but we're going soon. After COVID, yeah. So yes, you know, sometimes you know there's people that have groups online that trade beer, and you send them beer, they send you beer from a certain area. But sometimes you just got to take a road trip, and so going to Lake Havasu from Denver
I don't know how long of a drive that is. Probably like 9 hours, 10 hours. Go down there for a weekend. Wait till COVID's over so that places are actually open. We read the news last week about, oh, this place is reopening and they can serve beer with their food cart. Oh, man. No such luck. Lockdown again. Boatman, Seattle, Washington. Rylander Brewing Company Boatswain Double IPA. Pretty good price. 84 cents. Yes, 84 cents at Trader Joe's in Federal Way, Washington. There is some pretty good deals at Trader Joe's, and you know, it's just a specific brands that they have that are Trader Joe types of beers, but you can get good beers there for cheap. So definitely scope out what's there, I'd say. No, I'm just kidding. Boatman. Yes. The dude is Boatman. And then we posted up Juice Press from Burgeon Beer. That picture, man, that was a great picture. Such a good looking beer. Bobby Waters on Facebook responded, I'm thirsty. I see that a lot, actually. Like, you know, we have all these different beers today that gets posted, and you'd be surprised. Once a week, someone just posts, like, I'm thirsty. And I'm like, just muscle reflex or whatever. They just post that. You know, it makes no sense to post that, but people post that. It happens a lot. And then Horton Here's a Brew on Instagram. Burgeon is the shit, dude.
Look at that.
Very good brewery. What town is it in? San Diego County, but...
Yeah, Carlsbad.
Carlsbad, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
I'm down there a lot. You know, my sister lives in Escondido. That picture of Juice Press was taken. We just built a horseshoe pit. And so the Juice Press beer is taken on top of the horseshoe pit, which is a great place to just drink beer and play horseshoes. So the person that said that made them feel really thirsty, I totally understand. And it's a beer like that will do it to you.
Yes. If you have any comments, just send them to us, feedback@beerofthedaytoday.com, or leave them on any post that we do on social media, at Beer of the Day, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Post your comment. We will read it here on our next program. Let's get into the final beer of the night. Now we're turning it up a notch.
Ooh.
This is from Temperance Beer Company, Evanston, Illinois. Might Meets Right. 2015 is the year on this beer. We've been aging this for 5 years by my math. So this is peak time here. This is when we should be drinking this. We've wasted how many kilowatts? We've invested how many kilowatts of energy to keep this beer refrigerated for 5 years, and now we're going to enjoy the fruits of our labor, or their labor, in our refrigeration.
You know, this is about the longest I can age a beer. Five and a half years. We don't have too many beers that last that long. I mean, certainly beers last longer, but it's hard to really keep a beer in your cellar or a fridge for that long. And this is one of the oldest beers we have. 2015. Mine even has, I assume yours does too, Dallas, handwritten, you know, Sharpie on there. Mine is number 2263. What number do you have?
2206.
Pretty close. Yours is even older than mine.
By so this is 60 bottles or whatever.
Probably bottled on the same day. Yes. So this is a barrel-aged Imperial Stout. This is actually aged in High West double rye barrels, which I'm a big rye fan, and double rye is an excellent rye. And so hopefully the barrels imparted some good flavors on this beer. Ooh, still smells good. Again, probably the oldest beer in the cellar. I saw this 2015. I said we probably should drink it soon before the year is over. 5 years seems like a good amount of time to age a barrel-aged stout. I mean, it would last longer, but I think it's pretty much peaking right now.
Well, it's black as night, but it's really brown. There's some red highlights filtering through on the edges. So
dark brown. Yeah.
Dark.
But there is some redness dark brown. Right around the edges.
And then the head is very, very thin. Kind of a light brown head.
Nice aroma.
Very sweet aroma of molasses.
Brown sugar, but molasses, yeah, for sure.
Molasses, brown sugar, you know, caramel type of sweetness.
Super strong, which I'm glad to see that. It's really nice to open a bottle after all these years and get that fantastic aroma.
11.1%. Have we had a beer from Temperance before?
I don't think so. I think this is our first one. I remember buying this beer five, 6 years ago, and I don't think I've seen one since.
Well, that Temperance movement really affected them.
What do you think of the flavor?
I haven't had a sip yet. I'm about to.
You know, when I was a kid, I lived not too far from Evanston, Illinois, but when I was that age, I couldn't drink, so, and this brewery probably did not exist back then.
So Evanston is a suburb of Chicago?
Yeah.
Kind of. It's just north of Chicago on the lake.
Yeah, it's northern Chicago.
It's between Highland Park and Chicago. Yeah.
It's basically Chicago.
I think we've probably driven up through there before.
I'm sure. It's like not far from like Wrigleyville. It's sweeter than I expected. It's a really sweet beer.
Very sweet.
It's sweeter than I expected. It's boozy. I mean, the booziness has mellowed out, but I do think it is like the sweetness gives this booziness that, like when I think of this being Asian rye is less sweet than bourbon. Bourbon barrels tend to add this like sweetness. I did not expect this to be this sweet. This is much sweeter than I expected.
Yeah. Now I wonder if over time the sugar, you know, maybe more yeast gets eaten up and converted into sugar.
Maybe.
I don't know. I mean, that's just maybe a guess. But yeah, it is surprising. Like, normally you expect 11.1% type beers to be very, you know, a little more robust. You know, those dark, dark malt, smoky type flavors. Not a lot on this. It's kind of that toasted malt base with you know, sweet caramel, vanilla, sugar, just kind of sugar, simple sugar type of sweetness.
Well, I do get a lot of dark chocolate. I also get like marshmallow. Like, to me, this would be like a good campfire beer.
Marshmallow is a good one. And, you know, not semi-sweet chocolate. It's sweet. There's not much bitterness here at all.
True. You mentioned caramel. There's some caramel, some vanilla. I think it's a good call. There might be a little bit of spice here too. I don't know if there's anything added to this, but it tastes like there's a little bit of, on the back end, a little bit of kick. Yeah, the bottle does say a touch of spice.
Just a touch though. I don't know what that spice is. Maybe cinnamon, but it's, you know, I compare it to that winter beer we had from Einstock, which was way spicy, you know, has all kinds of spices, you know, festive spices. This is just a little touch of some type of, it's not even enough to be able to pinpoint it.
But I feel it like, you know, like there's some heat still, which like when, you know, I drink a lot of bourbon and rye and, you know, that like heat in your throat. There's a little bit of that in this. For a beer that's aged a while, it's that I don't know if it's spice, but it's like a little bit of heat on the back end.
Mm-hmm. I do get that. I mean, there's a little alcohol burn too, which is a heat, but
yeah,
there's a little bit of that. It's more of a flavor to me than a heat on the spiciness, but maybe a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's what I mean, like a alcohol burn, not like a peppery spice.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what this beer tasted like originally and what it has mellowed into after aging. You know, for a wintertime beer, if you're sitting by a fire on a super cold night and you're drinking this, I don't know if you'd go more than a couple of beers, you know, of this particular one, but I think it's enjoyable to have a glass of this. I don't know if this is one you drink bottles and bottles of.
Well, I don't think you could at 11.1%. Like, this will catch up with you very quickly. And I might even, you know, it tastes stronger than 11.1% also. Maybe it's because it's the last beer of the night, but this doesn't hide the alcohol.
The sweetness does a little bit. I've had beers with a kick, the kick harder than this for sure. It's definitely there. There's definitely that alcohol burn, but the sweet, it's so sweet that it makes it palatable. But definitely sweeter than I imagined it would be.
Yeah. I like it. It's a sweet stout. Definitely worth aging. I like that it's got this handwritten label. Like it, you know, shows you that this is a quality smaller brewery. They take the time to make this. It's not mass produced. When the, you know, cellar master, the brewer, whoever is writing on every single bottle, you know it's going to be pretty good quality.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, it's a strong beer, but it's sweeter than I anticipated. Oh yeah, so I think I can see this being kind of a dessert beer after you have a meal. And then if you wanted to just share a bottle of this with, you know, eight people, little bit each, you know, I think it could be like a digestive, sweet type of dessert, type of liqueur, really. Less of a beer and more of a liqueur.
Yeah. Makes sense to me.
All right, well, let's recap the beers we've had tonight, and we can try to figure out what our favorite beer of the night is. It's going to be a tough one tonight, I think.
Do you want me to recap the beers?
Yes.
All right, so we had five beers tonight. We started out with The Experiment from Anchorage Brewing, which was a sour ale with blueberries. After that, we had Sierra Nevada Dankful IPA. Third beer was Icelandic Winter Ale from Einstock. And then after the break, we had Stone Shakoveza Imperial Stout. And then we just wrapped up with the Temperance Beer Company Might Meets Right, the barrel-aged Imperial Stout. So five beers, different styles, different flavors, kind of across the board, very geographically diverse, and it was an enjoyable show. This will be interesting.
All right, so I want you to decide, Jeff, and circle one of your beers, which is the favorite. I don't want you changing it on me.
I've never changed it. Okay.
All right, hold up a number, one or two. Alexa, pick a number between one and two. Did you hear that?
Two?
Yeah.
You know, this was tough. All of these beers were good. There wasn't one that was just downright the best. But I think my favorite was the very first beer, the Anchorage, the Experiment Sour Ale. I don't drink a ton of sour beers. I do like blueberries a lot. Maybe that influenced my choice here, but I just thought that was one of the better sour beers that I've had. As I go through the show, I rate each beer, and that was the beer that I rated the highest. And I don't think it was perfect, but I think it was very high on my scale. And it was just, you know, light tartness, light sourness, lots of blueberry flavor. So all the beers tonight were good, but I think that one for me was my favorite. Look at that. You want to see my proof too?
Same beer. So yeah, sours, very rarely would I ever pick a sour as my favorite beer, but this one was, it was fantastic. It was the unsour sour. It was just a little tart, you know, and it was very well balanced. You could have taken that blueberry and made it really a blueberry overwhelming fruit bomb. No, you give a little hint, you balance everything out perfectly. And it did that. Very impressed with that beer. And that is my beer of the day. It's always tough when you have beers of many, many different styles, but it's hard to ignore the quality on that one. We're waiting for the police to go by Jeff's house.
Hopefully they're not coming here. This is a nightly thing, especially on Friday and Saturday nights.
During COVID even?
Yeah. Totally.
Well, we got tomorrow, it's curfew lockdown, so
yeah, it'll be worse tomorrow night.
They're gonna have to regulate.
I live in like downtown Pasadena. It's very urban and I love living here, but it's loud.
Well, the good thing is that everything's close by.
Yes.
Especially once COVID's over, then you got all these nice restaurants and bars and places to go and shops and everything's right there. Yeah. We just got to get through this. We're almost there. All right, that's going to close it out for this show. We thank you for tuning in. Remind you to check out our website, beerofthedaycom. Every day we're posting beers of the day and featuring that on our website, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. So follow us at Beer of the Day. Comments, send them to us, feedback at beerofthedaycom or on any social media post. Post your beer of the day to the website and we will feature it as the beer of the day, and tens of thousands of people will see the beer in your little town. So that's my pitch for that. So do that. People don't ever do it, but you should, because it's a rewarding experience for you and for the brewery. We'll see you next time. I don't know what's on tap. We got the holidays coming up, Thanksgiving, but I do think, you know, we could do a full-on holiday type of show this year with the Christmas beers, and that's always a lot of fun. So stay tuned for that next time, and we'll see you then. This has been the Beer of the Day podcast.